It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today. AARP Maine recently announced the results of their 2018 Survey Insights from Maine's Voters Age 50 Plus that was conducted from August 16th to August 26th this year. So this is very current information about what Mainers are thinking. AARP represents a membership of 230,000 people in Maine. That's like a fifth of the population. And they commissioned the survey to gather opinions on issues of importance to older Mainers during the 2018 midterm elections. The survey collected opinions of 804 registered Maine voters, 50 and older, and we are going to discuss those results today. If you want to read this survey, you can log on to aarp.org/Maine, and then in the little search bar, type in Insights from Maine Voters Survey, and the link to the survey will come right up. It's very easy. If you don't have a computer, maybe a family member will do that for you. My guest today is Lori Parham. It's been a while since she's been on the show, so I'm delighted to have her. She's the state director for AARP Maine. Lori, thank you so much for agreeing to be on to discuss this survey.
Hi, Carol. It's great to be back with you.
So why did AARP commission to actually have this survey done, and who was surveyed?
So we spend a lot of time asking our members their opinions and getting feedback from them. We do this in person, we do it online, we do it through phone surveys, and especially during key election years, as part of our voter engagement work, we want to hear from voters 50-plus, not just our members, but voters 50-plus. And, you know, we're nonpartisan, we don't have a PAC, we don't give money to candidates, we don't endorse candidates. And what we really want to do is make sure that all of the candidates running for key offices are listening to the 50-plus voter, and especially right now for us right here in Maine. As you mentioned, we had quite a large sample size, and I think it's important to note that the mix of folks who replied to the survey were really evenly split between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. And again, this was a survey of Maine voters 50 and older. It included AARP members, but there were more folks in the sample as well.
And so what do you hope to do with the survey?
Well, since the survey was released, we have shared the information with all of the campaigns for the folks that are running for office. This survey covered federal issues as well as state and local issues, and so we think it's really important data for the candidates to have on what voters 50-plus think. And so we've shared that information. We're also sharing it with partners, and we're talking to our members through community conversations to, in essence, reaffirm what the survey told us, or to get differing opinions when we're out on the road. And so we're using it in lots of different ways.
Were there any surprises in the survey for you?
So we found that even above the economy, healthcare was most important, not only for people 65 and older who are on Medicare, but for younger people as well, in that 50 to 64-year-old category. And healthcare has been important to voters 50-plus in Maine for quite a while. It was the same in 2014 when we did our last voter survey, but it, you know, ranked above the economy, which, you know, to us says that healthcare is really becoming unaffordable for a lot of people. And I think that another key finding of the survey, we actually asked asked voters if the election were held that day, who they would vote for in the key races, the U.S. Senate race, the U.S. congressional races, and the governor's race. And I think we found a lot of the races are in a dead heat, but I think the interesting factor was the number of people who were still undecided about who they were going to vote for. At the same time, we had folks who were frustrated with divisiveness. And so we see this as an opportunity for the candidates to be talking about issues rather than attacking each other.
Do you think that, given the power of AARP and the statistics you have behind you, do you think it will make a difference on the behavior of the people involved?
Well, I sure hope so. I sure hope that they will take this information and they'll look at it closely. Let me give you an example on the Medicare side, and related to Medicare, but broadly too. One of the issues that I hear from people all the time when I'm out in communities talking with folks and hearing from them is the concern over the rising cost of prescription drugs. Costs are out of control. People are really struggling to cover their prescription drug costs. And in this survey, we found folks see this as a hugely important issue. And we see that they support secretarial negotiation of prescription drugs. That means taking the purchasing power of the Medicare population to negotiate lower drug prices like the Veterans Administration does. And they also support safe reimportation of drugs from Canada. So what I would hope is that our federal candidates who are running for office would look at that and say, okay, as we think about the future of Medicare, as we look at the impact of prescription drug costs on Maine people, we're going to look at policies that are going to make a difference and really help bring down the cost of prescription drugs.
As I look at the survey, 81% strongly supported that. That's a huge number.
That's a huge number.
And 12% somewhat supported. So you would think, and this has been an issue for a long time, that trying to get Medicare to negotiate prices. I'm not sure what the holdup is when so many voting Americans are for this, and it makes sense, and it saves everybody money other than the strength of the pharmaceutical lobby. What is happening?
Well, and it's interesting that you would raise that, because if you look at the survey results, a large number of voters 50-plus in Maine think that the pharmaceutical lobby has quite an influence over members of Congress. And so what we're saying to those running for office is people should come before pharma, and we need to make sure that individuals can get the life-saving drugs they need, often for serious conditions like cancer or chronic conditions like Parkinson's or MS. We need to make sure they have access to these drugs at a price they can afford.
Well, and the number is staggering. So when you look at the people who think that the drug companies have a lot of influence, it's 75% or some influence is 16%. So we're looking at 91% of people think that they have influence. That's not how we're supposed to work.
No. And that's why we think it's so important, and we're urging the candidates to listen to the voters here in Maine and across the country. We're doing these surveys in other states as well.
And the thing that I take away from this is this just signals an erosion of trust in our representatives.
If people are
believing that our representatives can be bought, which is essentially what this is saying, then where's that trust factor of the people that we put in office?
And so that's why we'd like to see, as we look, past the election, and we do encourage everyone to get out and vote, no matter what your age is, because we know folks tend to sit midterms out. Off election years don't bring out as many voters. But this is, we believe, such an important election for older voters, but for all voters, to get out and make sure their voice is heard, so that our elected leaders will start to, make some of the changes that we really need to see, both at the federal level and as we look at issues impacting people within the state, too.
Well, and I see that the survey demonstrates a deep concern regarding retirement security, and that 66% of respondents worry that prices are rising faster than their income.
We saw the same thing in 2014. We're not seeing much of a change for the positive when it comes to how people are feeling about their retirement or their ability to retire. A lot of folks don't feel at the moment that they have enough in retirement, and many feel that they're never going to be able to save what they need. And we know that savings has been down, and the scary thing is that it costs a lot to grow old in this country. Long-term care is very expensive unless you can be served at home, and even there it can be expensive if you don't have supports. Nursing home care can cost anywhere from $85,000 to $100,000 a year, And estimates say just to help cover the wraparound health care costs from Medicare that you really need to have about $250,000 in the bank in retirement just to cover health care costs. So retirement security continues to be an issue, especially in a state like Maine where you have so many small businesses. And a lot of folks don't have access to savings, a plan to save. And so, you know, we see this as it's one of the arguments for why Social Security is so important for Maine voters. This is a program that everyone pays into, and it's a key component of retirement security. It's really not enough, but for some, it's their only source of income, so it's hugely important.
Yes, incredibly important. And I don't have the exact number, but it was something like 99% said that was a vital concern to them and something needs to be done. When we come back, we will talk more about this with Lori Parham from AARP Maine. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk and the survey recently done by AARP Maine. The results are some surprising, some not surprising. But if you want to look at this survey yourself, log on to aarp.org/Maine. And then in the little search bar that comes up at the top with the magnifying glass, type in Insights from Maine Voters Survey. And the link to that will come right up. It's very easy. You can do it yourself. Or if you don't have a computer, a family member, I'm sure, would be happy to do it for you. Because it's really worth doing and looking at this. So, Lori, 94% who were surveyed, and again, this was a pretty evenly split Republican, Democrat, Independents, pretty even across the board of respondents, felt that the candidate's position on helping older people live independently, whether it's in their homes or in a senior housing, will impact their voting decisions this year. That has got to be a wake-up call, I would think, to those who are campaigning right now.
I would hope so. And, you know, long-term care, if you look at the state of Maine and how old we are, and the new census numbers came out, there was a report out last week, our median age is 44.7 now. We are an old state. We are the oldest in the country. And, you know, that is not a bad thing. We like to just talk about it as a negative. But what it does mean, because we know older people give a lot back to Maine, but it does mean we need to be preparing for, and our communities need to be prepared for an aging population. And so there's local work to be done here, but there's definitely work to be done at the state level. We have not seen much progress on the long-term care front over the last 8 years. It's a conversation we're having with a lot of our community partners who serve older people. We'd really like to see our next governor, whoever they are, work on these issues, look at the long-term care system, look at how we can bring down costs, make sure we're serving people where they want to be served, and really try to work to keep folks at home and in their community as long as possible. We know it's where people want to be, and as long as people are active in their communities, it's better for the local economy, too. It's really a win-win.
Well, it is, and I'm always surprised because since I turned 60, I'm always surprised when I meet someone because I think people are looking younger too, and you can't really tell how old someone is the way you used to be able to. I think 60 is the new 40. And I'm always surprised by the vibrant, active, really people that I run into, and we'll start discussing age and they'll say, oh yeah, I'm 65. It's like, how? so much contributions to society. And so it's really, as we're aging, you're right, it's not a negative. It doesn't have to be a negative because the contribution of these people is incredible. And there's so much knowledge and life experience behind them.
So we know that older people, they give more in volunteer time. They give more charitably. They're paying more in taxes. They are mentors. The work they're doing to give back to the communities, and we see it through the work we're doing with municipalities to make sure that they're livable for all ages. And we look at the volunteerism and the number of people who are giving back, who really haven't retired because they may not be working for pay, but they're still working away to make sure that their communities are a positive place to grow old. It's just, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, I always say age really is just a number. And so we can't forget about or ignore the value of people over 50 in the state. And as we take it, bring it back to the survey, candidates really need to be listening to what they have to say.
Well, especially where they are the largest voting block. So you can pander to the young ones, but they're going to sit it out, and most seniors vote in every single election.
They do. It's one of the things that Mainers should be really proud of, is that they do. They come out, they vote in large numbers. Now, we do see a drop-off in these midterm elections, and that's why as part of our voter engagement efforts, we're really encouraging folks to have a plan to get out, not to sit this one out, especially as we look at how important the issues are to them. And the sense of urgency we're seeing as well as we look at issues like Medicare and Social Security, and as we talk about solvency and making sure that programs are there for those on the programs now and those who are looking forward to them, there really is a sense of urgency. So what I would say to voters, if you're really feeling concerned about these programs, then you need to be asking the candidates, what are they going to do? And once you have that information, you need to go to the polls. You need to make your voice heard through the voting booth.
And it does make a difference, especially in races that are so tight. Every vote counts.
Especially in Maine, with a population of just 1.3 million in races right now that are really in a dead heat across all of the races, it's really important that you make your voice heard. And it's also, you know, really important to make sure that you've got the information, that you understand the issues that matter to you most. And again, you know, our survey was of voters 50 plus, really focused on the issues that AARP works on behalf of our members, health and retirement security. There may be other issues of importance to you, but the key is to do your homework and to show up.
Well, and when we talk about long-term care, because that really affects everyone, if you're not having long-term care right now, you probably have a family member who is struggling with this. And when we come back, we will talk about that, because they say it's expensive and there's no money, the government does. But if these people aren't taken care of, as you said, in the way they need to be, they're going to either get sick, end up in a nursing home. Someone's going to be paying for them regardless. So preventive pay is much better than paying for them as they get more frail and sick. And I will let you address that when we come back. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Lori Parham. So Lori, talking about the long-term care and that someone is going to pay for this. If the seniors are not getting, they're not getting nourishment, or they have repeated falls and end up in a nursing home, then MaineCare most likely is going to be paying the bill for them. So it does make sense that money is put more towards in-home supports, correct?
It makes absolute sense. It's much less expensive to serve someone at home. And on top of it, we know that's where people want to be. I mean, that's what they've continued to tell us. And, you know, this is why we continue to raise these issues. There are lots of models. States have done innovative work to create long-term care systems that serve people at home. You know, the listeners may not know that Medicare doesn't cover long-term care costs except for short-term nursing home stays after a surgery for rehab. So if you're thinking all your problems are solved when you get onto Medicare, it's just not the case. And so we need to do more. Right now, caregivers in Maine, these are family caregivers, unpaid caregivers.
So like annually, children, nieces,
yeah,
nephews.
Children, a spouse, a friend sometimes. They save the state of Maine annually $2.2 billion a year. This is savings to the state of Maine because of the work that folks do, that you and I do, to care for loved ones.
So if they, hold on.
Which is wonderful.
So I just want to examine that a little bit. So that's money that would have been paid out by maybe the government having to pay because the person's in a nursing home?
That's right. And while it's all well and good to say that families should help take care of each other, at some point, if you've ever been a caregiver, you know what it means to be burnt out. You get to a point where you need a break. Often it's caregivers who end up getting more frail and more sick because of the stress physically and emotionally that comes with caregiving. But we could be investing in programs like respite care or adult daycare to give caregivers a break that would have huge savings implications, keep people healthy, keep them providing this care. But it's time to provide some support, because if we don't, more and more people are going to need that nursing home care.
And it's difficult for the economy, too, because if a person needs so much help and the family caregiver is doing that, they can't work and do that.
Well, that's another huge issue, and this is definitely an issue that impacts women overwhelmingly. Is not only are they often still raising kids, but they're caring for parents and trying to work. And employers, we talk with employers, it's going to get worse as more and more people are caring for the aging population and also trying to save for their own retirement by staying in the workforce. And that's one of the reasons why we talk with employers about the need for flexible work policies so that caregivers can continue to work but also provide care to loved ones. You don't want to end up in a situation where caregivers aren't able to save for their own retirement because they're caring for parents or grandparents. So it's complicated. But we need to start to look at these issues and have those conversations sooner rather than later.
So the impact of this survey, again, some of the results, probably not surprising, they've been ongoing. What is your sense that things will change, as much as you can say?
Oh, it's such a good question. I remain optimistic because I have the opportunity to work with so many people, especially at the local level. And this is what I'll say, over the last 8 years, where we've really seen energy and work being done, it's with local municipalities and local residents and volunteers who are working with local nonprofits and trying to address some of the issues that would allow people to age in place. But let's face it, Medicaid is a joint state-federal program, and we need leadership at the state level to really focus on long-term care. And so that's why we're having those conversations with all the gubernatorial candidates. We're having community conversations. We're hoping to have more and more people raise their voices. We're sponsoring a number of debates so that we can hear from all the candidates. But this is a critically important issue, not just for Maine people, but for the future of Maine and its economy. So I'm hopeful that we will start to see the issues addressed, and we hope that this survey is just one piece of the puzzle as we look to November, and then as we look to 2019 and new elected leaders, both at the legislature and in Congress and in the governor's office.
Is there anything that people can do? Briefly, we're almost out of time, can do aside from voting?
Well, if they go to our website at aarp.org/ME, they'll find a full list of events and opportunities for community conversations to come out. If you want to get involved, we have lots of volunteers who are tracking issues, showing up at events. Feel free to email us at me@aarp.org. We'd love for folks to get involved or to learn more, and we're always happy to hear from folks.
Lori Parham, always such wonderful information. Thank you so much for being here. Again, if you want to read that survey, aarp.org/Maine or ME, type insights from Maine Voter Survey, and it will come up. Thanks for listening. This is Senior Talk.